You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
Perhaps some volunteers who are willing to get a bit active. Maybe three. Yeah, just somebody who's not going to keel over or, you know, who's used to a bit of physical activity. Brilliant. Two more. Anybody else? Maybe one from this side and one from that side. No, nobody wants to get active this morning. Of course, William. Oh, of course. Okay. And Dave. Brilliant. Thank you. Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to do 10 star jumps. So you might need a bit of room, or jumping jacks. Jumping jacks or star jumps, I think they're the same thing. But and we're going to count you down, all right? So we're going to do it as at a bit of a pace, I reckon. One, two, three, that kind of pace. Is that all right? Or we could do five, which we'll do five, shall we? Okay, you ready? One, two, three, four, five, six, 7, 8, 9, 10. Woo! Ha ha, brilliant. Okay, William, are you any fitter from doing that?
Definitely.
You are?
Yeah.
That's not the right answer. Dave, are you any fitter from doing that?
I feel a twinge.
You feel a twinge? Oh, okay. You think we're any fitter?
I feel better.
You feel better. Okay, that's all right. Well, thank you very much for that, guys. That's all I really needed. That's right. I mean, they've maybe got the blood pumping. Maybe they've, you know, worked their body a bit so that when they have a biscuit, it might burn it off a little bit quicker. But really, are they any fitter from doing that? No, they're not really. It's not going to have any lasting impact. And I've been reading or listening to some talks by a guy called Simon Sinek, and he's a motivational speaker and talks a lot about organisational culture and leadership. And he does this great video. I'm not going to show it, but I'll read some of what he says. He says, great culture, no matter where you are, no matter how big the organisation, is not about intensity, it's about consistency. You can't get into shape by going to the gym for 9 hours. It won't work. But if you work out every single day for 20 minutes, you will absolutely get into shape. Intensity is like going to the dentist. It's fixed in time. We know exactly what date we're going. We know how long we're going to be there. And we know that when we come out, our teeth will feel smooth and look pearly. But if that's all we do, all our teeth will fall out. In other words, intensity is not enough. So we're also supposed to brush our teeth twice a day for 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes in the evening. We've got so many dentists here, I just need to check. Is that right? That's right. Okay, so 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening. But what does brushing your teeth for 2 minutes actually do? Nothing. It does absolutely nothing unless you do it every single day. Can you leave a day out? Sure. How many days can you leave out? I don't really know. How many times do you have to brush your teeth before it works? I don't really know that either. What about falling in love? What does it take to fall in love? Buy flowers, remember birthdays. Yep, those things are important, but if that's all we do, it won't work. It's the little things, like for those of us who are married, when you wake up in the morning, you say good morning before you check your phone. And when you get up to get yourself a drink, you bring one back without asking if they even wanted one. But any one of those things does nothing. It's the accumulation of all of those things done over the course of time repeatedly that one day someone will wake up and go, oh my goodness, I love you. Yeah. I thought that was pretty powerful. And he ended with consistency is the key. So I don't know if we've got our, I might take the clicker. Is that, does the clicker work? Thank you. So I want to talk about going from intensity to consistency. Because after an encounter with God, whether that be at a camp or a conference or maybe just a really great Sunday morning, that's the intense part. But how do you transition back into real life? And there's a guy at Soul Survivor called Bob Wallington who actually works for Soul Survivor Church. He's their youth leader there. And he did a talk called How Do You Land This When You Get Home? And I have unashamedly taken his points because I think they're brilliant. I'm going to flesh them out, but I think his structure is great. So he kind of talked with the young people about meeting really amazingly with God, loving the worship, getting in amongst this big crowd. But he said it's not real life. And actually, if you think that that's real life after this really visceral Holy Spirit experience, the week you get back after Soul Survivor or your conference or your camp or your retreat, it's like a nosedive. back into the lows of life. And they might not even be lows, they just might be real life, but they seem so low compared to the high that you've just had. You've got to find a way of sustaining what happened, that intensity, in a consistent way. So I'm going to talk about some practical ways in which we can do that. But I just want to pray first. And I just want to say, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that this message will touch hearts today and that you will be totally in it, Jesus, that it will be your words and not mine. In your name I pray, amen. So I was thinking about some biblical examples. This is me, not Bob. So I was thinking about some biblical examples of when this might happen. And it struck me that there was one in Mark 17. I'm going to point it there. Oh, I've gone backwards. There we go. Mark 17, verses 1 to 9, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. I love Peter. I think I've stood up here before and said it before that I really love him because I totally get him, and I think I see a lot of myself and how I probably would have acted and what I would have said and just been a bit clumsy and got it a bit wrong. But I love the heart of him because his desire, I think, was just like ours when we have this amazing, glorious, kind of experience. You just want to stay there. You want to bask in it and be in it and relive it. But there's always the journey down the mountain. And that's what it says. When they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them. Because it's not real life. And I get here that Peter sort of sees Jesus, but it's Jesus plus Moses plus Elijah. And he's kind of done this sum in his head, equals better. Jesus, Moses, Elijah, this is the best. You know, he'd seen a lot of miracles. He'd seen loads of things going on. But somehow he sort of was like, this is the pinnacle experience. I just want to stay here. This is amazing. And I think sometimes when we go to Soul Survivor or a camp or a conference, we've got Jesus plus singing the latest Bethel song, plus singing it with 8,000 other people. And it's just better. It just feels better. But actually, do you know what? It's Jesus that blesses people and Jesus alone. And all of those things do bless us. Yes, absolutely. They're great to experience. But I really just think that we need to get back to seeing that it's Jesus, whether you're alone in your room, whether you're at home, whether you're here on a Sunday morning, if you're out in the school, that's the part of it. That's the best part. It doesn't need anything added to it. And God hasn't intended for us to live from one Soul Survivor to the next and just kind of hang on for dear life in between. Okay, that's not what it's about. So the first practical piece of advice, well, it kind of is practical, I guess, is longing for more of Jesus. He said, this guy, Bob Wallington, that it starts with a deep desire for a closer relationship with Jesus, for it to go beyond just that experience that you've had. And there's some great verses, I think, in the Psalms particularly, which illustrate this. And the one that I've picked out for today is Psalm 63, verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. Maybe that's what you guys feel like. It's like, oh man, I've come back and it's just parched land. You know, this my whole life just feels really thirsty. And you know, I just need to drink. And what you need to drink more of is getting closer to Jesus in your own way, in your own relationship. And if you honestly feel this way, then you will want to pursue that. You will. You'll be encouraged. You'll have that perseverance to want to do that, because you'll know that that event or that experience isn't enough for you to live off. The other example of where I think followers of Jesus experience that intensity of a single epic kind of moment is in Acts. And it's, of course, Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I mean, like, sometimes I just have to stop and imagine if that happened right now, how amazing that would be. It would, like, knock our socks off, wouldn't it? Because it's just not something that we would ever be expecting. It's just, I don't know, like, I can't think of what it would be like if a massive wind came rushing in here and suddenly these fire came down from heaven. This was an amazing thing. And they had seen miracles. Like I said, they'd seen lots of things. But from this amazing thing happening and them speaking in tongues, all of a sudden this crowd outside starts to gather and hear what's going on. And not only are they speaking in language they never learned before, but it's languages of the people that are outside. And they just go, oh my goodness, aren't these the people that were just, you know, they're just Galileans, they're just from here. And now they're speaking all these languages that I know. How is this possible? But of course you get the negative, you know, the moaning Marys in the, sorry, Mary, no, the grumbly ones that go, no, they're just drunk. That's what it is. They're just drunk. That's what explains it. So Peter, love Peter, gets up and addresses the crowd and he tells them about Jesus. Okay, he's got this boldness. He tells them about how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies that went before, and he tells them about his death and his resurrection. And bam, 3,000 people become Christians, okay? Soul survivor, 450, I said. 3,000. And their numbers were 120 before that. That's not like 8,000, like at Soul Survivor, and then 450 people become Christians. This is like 120, like not too much more than this. And then all of a sudden, 3,000 people become Christians. Like, how is that possible? Well, I'll tell you how it's possible. It's the Holy Spirit. And you know what? They could have sat around after this going, oh, wasn't Pentecost just great? Wasn't it just like amazing? Oh, maybe we can just sit here and just wait for Pentecost to happen again. Like maybe, you know, I just want to experience that again because, you know, my daily life is just a bit boring and, you know, but they didn't, did they? Actually, it says that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So after this big event, they still did their daily life. Yeah, it was a bit different. It was quite different, actually, because the Holy Spirit was there. But they went and did their everyday life still. And you see in the very next chapter, Peter and John doing an everyday thing, walking to the temple to pray. They see a guy who can't walk, and they just go, do you know what? In Jesus' name, you're going to walk. A miracle happens, again, in the everyday. And this is pretty amazing because up until that point, it had really, I mean, the disciples had done some miracles, but it was mostly Jesus. And Jesus wasn't even there. He'd gone. So again, what was it? It was the Holy Spirit. But then Peter and John get put in prison. Oof, okay, amazing experience. Doing a miracle, end up in prison. And when they get questioned by the religious leaders, it says, by what power or what name did you do this? And it says in Acts 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. And he goes on to tell them a thing or two about Jesus. But actually, it was the event of Pentecost that was playing out in his everyday life, okay? He didn't just leave that experience there. He wasn't just wallowing in the fact that it hadn't happened again. He was using what had happened in that experience, being filled with the Holy Spirit, to equip him to go out and speak like this, okay? So We had an opportunity last week when David came and shared his testimony, which was amazing. We weren't here. We were in Sweden. I was at Hillsong Stockholm. But again, I missed you guys, and it really wasn't about the church. It was about, you know, just being there with God. But I listened to it this week, and it was amazing. And David gave everybody the opportunity to say, yes, if I haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's what I want. So the next bit of practical advice is asking for the Holy Spirit. Because it sparks into life those spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues. So just like what they did then at Pentecost, we can do that. Prophecy, interpretation, healing the lame man, and faith, and others too. I think that the Holy Spirit is what gives our faith legs to walk and to actually live out the day-to-day life. And sometimes you'll feel it, and sometimes you won't, okay? David alluded to this, that actually it took a bit of perseverance and praying before that baptism happened for him and Eileen. And actually it didn't happen to both of them at the same time either. And it doesn't have to be in a meeting. You don't have to go forward and have, you know, have it made a really big thing. Yes, you need to be prayed for and you need to want it. But it happened to your friend in the shower, I believe, from what I heard last week. So it can happen anywhere. And maybe if you have had that baptism in the Holy Spirit, maybe a challenge is to wake up each day, and this is a challenge to myself, and before we do anything, say to God, I want you to know that I want your Holy Spirit today. And again, sometimes we'll feel it and sometimes we won't. But we trust that when we ask for these things, God will fill us. And one of the other points that he said, which we're not really going to go into, but I thought it was worth mentioning here, is he says that we have to be a people who aren't dependent on feeling God. And David spoke about this verse, I think, or these verses last week. So he said, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's a famous evangelist called D.L. Moody. People know him, yeah, lots of heads. And he was once asked why he urged Christians to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, look, and I don't know whether this is true, but apparently there was a bucket just, you know, casually off to the side here. And he said, well, I'm like that bucket. I feel like I leak a bit because of the everyday life, because of the things that happen. I feel like I leak, so I feel like I have to ask. And I don't know theologically, I haven't been into that, but I don't believe it's the Holy Spirit who leaves us. I think it's us that we need reminding that the Spirit lives in us. We're the ones who get weak and sad and tired and thrown by the highs and lows of life. And I think we see an example of Paul reminding Timothy. And he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So he's reminding Timothy, come on, mate, look what you've got inside you. And even Peter and John, after Pentecost, having experienced the Holy Spirit so powerfully, after being released from prison, there's threats made against them from the religious leaders. And it says that Acts 4, that they prayed, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they ask for fresh boldness, even though they've just had Pentecost. And I think if you want boldness this morning, if you want to be brave because inside you're feeling, nope, couldn't do that. You know, look at our young people this morning and having to overcome something inside. Imagine living in a place where actually you were able to just, with boldness, not a boldness because you're brave or you're qualified or anything like that, but a boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit to go and do some amazing things. Because Peter and John, actually, they weren't anything special It says so in Acts 4:13. It says, when the religious leaders, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So what are their credentials there? They're filled with the Holy Spirit and they spent time with Jesus. I think we can do that. That's available to us now. We can spend time with Jesus. We can ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the next point that helps us to do that, I think, is committing to community. Committing to the people in the place where God has planted you. And that doesn't mean you'll never leave. People go to university. People move place, you know, houses and places and countries. And Phil's going to Ukraine. And we gladly send people off when they're, you know, fulfilling the will that God has for their life by moving on. But if you want your relationship to go to the next level, and Mike Pilavachi at Soul Survivor stressed this a lot, he said it's got to happen in the local church. And that's what they're doing, actually. He kind of talked about this. He said at Soul Survivor, didn't he, that they're finishing up the big conferences because they truly feel like they can be more effective by going out to local churches. And that's their plan. They're going to deploy teams to go out to local churches and help and provide mentorship and leadership and things like that. And, you know, the church is not the easiest context to be part of. I think there's loads of reasons why somebody wouldn't want to be part of it. Sorry, no offense. But there are, you know, just look at the person next to you. If that's not enough to put you off, then, you know, no, sorry. That's not very nice, is it? You might absolutely love the person next to you, but you also might feel really awkward around them or not just totally not get them. And that's okay. But I think that we need each other. And I think it's God's design and his plan that you've got a part to play and so do I. And together, when we're united because of Jesus, that's when the world outside sees, oh, wow, Jesus is alive because I see him living in the church. And it says in John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How do you show someone that you love them? You're committed to them. Anybody who's married will say that. You know, and I think commitment nowadays is a you know, high-priced commodity. So be committed. I think it's really important. And I'm not saying what that looks like, okay? I'm the first one to think, can we do things differently? You know, is meeting on a Sunday the way? You know, and Mark Goodyear got up and talked about, you know, some of the things that perhaps we need to just think about a bit more. But I do think that being in a body of believers is really, really important. And when you're away from that body of believers, you need to find your secret place. You've got to find a space where you can meet up with him regularly on your own. Does it have to be a physical place? No, but it might help. That routine might help. I know Max from Ukraine came and shared with us and said about his manhole. Does everybody remember that? Yeah, that was his place. But find a way to carve out time. And it's your responsibility. You know, it is. It's got, some of these things are hard. Some of them take discipline and action. But this is really, really key. And it's time to pray, but it's also time to listen. And we had somebody, I can't actually remember who it was in pre-service prayer meeting. It might have been Paul. I'm not sure. Who talked about how important it is to sit in silence with God, to really try and tune in. And again, sometimes it might seem like he's saying nothing. Okay? That's all right. Persevere. And perhaps tied in with that is the next one, reading God's word. And I feel like this is really basic stuff, but again, I think it just shows how you can move from that intense experience to making it work consistently in your life. God speaks to us through his word. And again, sometimes I read it and I go, okay. And other times I read it and I go, wow, I have never seen that before, or I've never thought about it that way before. So, we need to choose to read it. It's a choice, and we need to put that into practice. I'm going to finish up here. This is the last one. And this, again, might be a bit of a challenge to you. I don't know. It's not, you know, necessarily biblically based. But he encouraged us to always be learning about what gets in our way. So what is it that might stop us from doing the things that I've just mentioned? And he did the classic thing of a mobile phone. And I think it's a classic thing because it's certainly the thing that distracts me. It might be just a time waster. It might be just a distraction. It might not be inherently bad. But if we really want to push through with this, I think I would encourage you to just think about, is there something that's getting in the way? And maybe try and do something different. Or it might be about just about telling somebody about it so that they can help you through it and pray for you and encourage you. But my phone always wants my attention and I give it way too much. And, I'm working on that. So, from intensity to consistency, all of it, I think, takes effort. Not about striving effort, but I do think it's about forming habits. It's about being disciplined. And it's not easy, but it's so important. Because I don't think that, well, I don't know, you might be different, but I can't live with my yearly injection from God. You know, my yearly God shot. That's not enough for me. I need to make it work. And I'd encourage you young people, because I know that I've heard that as well. Like, ugh, we've got to go home. And I felt that too. I was like, oh, I've got to go home, you know. But there are such important things that we can put in place to help us move it. And I think what I'd like us to do is actually just to pray now, because I think this might speak to some people who, you know, it's not about soul survivor for you, but it might be something experiential that you're sort of, you're waiting for, or you can pinpoint that moment and you keep going back to it and you think, oh, I wish it was just like that all the time. And so you can either get totally where we're coming from today, or maybe you have this like all in order. You know, everything is totally set. You're doing these things and they're really embedded in your day-to-day life. And that is awesome. But we need you, us, those who haven't, because we need you to encourage us and we need you to cheer us on and to pray for us and maybe like to check in with us, say, how's it going? And just kind of be alongside us, those of us who are really trying to put this stuff in place. So if you can just close your eyes now, and I just want to pray for us all, wherever we're at in these things. Lord Jesus, I thank you for those moments of intensity where we just feel you so close to us and we get those experiences that we can live off for a while and remember how amazing it is to be in your presence. But really, we're always in your presence, Jesus, and you're always with us and you never leave us, whether we're feeling it or not. And so I want to pray particularly for our young people this morning. I thank you for them. I really mean that genuine, Lord. I thank you for them. They are a blessing to us as a family church. And I know that you have awesome things planned for them, whether they know it or not. But Lord Jesus, I pray that you will just sustain them in a consistent way, that they would learn what it means to live daily for you. And that's not about what they do, Jesus, but it's about seeking you out. And it's about eagerly desiring your Holy Spirit and the gifts that your Holy Spirit brings. And so I pray if there's anyone here who was here last week or maybe listened back or maybe wasn't, but does eagerly desire those Holy Spirit gifts, Lord, I pray that they can just say to you now, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit, and that you would, that you'd let your Holy Spirit fall on them now. And Lord, for those of us who are trying to put some of these in practice, help us. Help us to do that daily, to remind us and to give that prompting, to spend time with you, to read your word. And Lord, for everybody else who's got it together, thank you for them. Thank you that family brings variety and it brings strength and it brings encouragement and comfort. Thank you that you've brought us together in this place, not just for this Sunday, but for a week's worth of living with you. And help us to do that better, Jesus. Help us to be involved in each other's lives where we can encourage each other and spur each other on. And I pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.